From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
We're back once again. Chancellor Mone, great to have you back on the radio program.
Good to be back. Thank you, Dave.
And I know that we're in the summer mode now, and of course everybody always thinks that means all the campus doors shut and nothing ever happens. But I always think the university is an exciting place during the summer as well. And of course that summer season is kind of keynoted by graduation.
It sure is.
And you had another successful graduation. Do you have the numbers?
Well, you know, real quickly, we had almost 3,400 students eligible to graduate. Felt like I shook about that many hands that day. About 2,500 of those were undergraduate, roughly a little over 600 were master's degree. I think we put out almost 150 doctoral students. Our growing area is the flex degrees. We had 35 to 40 students there. So it was a good graduation.
Yeah, and I'm always interested in the numbers of the average age. So you have the youngest 19. Well, that makes sense. The oldest person receiving their bachelor's degree was 69 years old.
How about that for ambition?
Yeah, no kidding. I don't think I'll have that ambition at that age.
They want to go somewhere, and I just admire that.
Yeah, no, that's really great. And then, of course, your master's and doctoral program. Some interesting speakers at the commencement.
Yeah, you know, I would say Peter Fagan knocked it out of the park. He's the president, general manager of the Bucks, and he really was just so spot on. He had these great points and told it very straight, candid. And I had parents, faculty, and staff say they want the tape, they want the streaming. So we provide that. You know, we do stream it. And you can see that. But also, many people said it's the best graduation I've been to in 6 years. It's the best graduation I've ever been to. So it was really neat. And it wasn't just Peter. There were other great speakers as well. But he did a really nice job.
Yeah. You know, as being someone who's fairly new to the community, he and the new ownership of the Bucks organization have really done a lot to sort of connect up with the community at different levels.
Haven't they?
Yeah.
It's just a whole new level of excitement. And, you know, along with the investment, there's just a lot of momentum behind, I think, a lot of the fan things. And I think with Peter's background in marketing, he's quite good at that, and so it's helped a lot.
One of the other guest speakers, you had other guest speakers, including regents. You had students. Tell us about who else spoke.
Yeah, so what's interesting is that Jose Delgado is a regent, and he's an area regent. He was formerly the head of American Transmission Company. He was somebody who was an alum of UWM, so that's really neat too. He was in our executive MBA program some years ago. So he was very, very nice and to the point with respect to his very supportive comments. And then for the first time in a long time, I asked our student association president, Emily Kuster, to speak, and she did a great job, and so it was nice to have that perspective. And I think it fits. I think that's very appropriate, you know, as somebody who is graduating herself. And then Brent L. Hundley, he's our alumni association rep, and he's in business here working for BMO. And so he gave some nice perspective. So a number of short talks and comments, and it all came together really well.
One of the things that I heard about that was very popular was the video that you were able to showcase some of the other students who had really interesting stories to tell.
So in the first graduation in the morning, we call it the black ceremony. In the afternoon, it's the gold ceremony. So there are three students featured in each of the films. And the theme that cuts across them is the really impressive journeys that these students have gone through, whether they come from another country and have been challenged to find their way to education, or whether they came from a small town in Wisconsin, never thought they'd go to college and graduate here. And the other differentiating thing is where they're all going. They all have very different trajectories in their lives because of having the door open that education provides. So some really neat stories. And, you know, to get those stories, we ask graduating students if they'd be willing to share theirs and to write a brief description. We had 100 pages, single-spaced, of submissions for students wanting to share their stories. We had a lot of rich material to draw from.
Yeah, yeah. It's also interesting, you know, what doors education opens, certainly. But the fact that, you know, a few years ago, well, more than a few years ago, I still remember when Nancy Zimpfer was chancellor here, she talked a lot about the brain drain and, you know, how do you keep the best and the brightest students in Wisconsin and in southeastern Wisconsin in particular. And my sense is that a lot of the students that are graduating from UWM want to be a part of this community.
Yeah, and that's what's differentiated us for a long time is how many of our students do stay here. You know, there's some campuses that draw students in from out of state and other areas, and they don't. A lot of those students don't stay as much as UWM students do. We draw almost 85% of our students from Wisconsin, and that many stay after graduation for at least a decade. If you look at our total alumni base, it's about three-fourths that stay here because, unbelievably, some people leave the state after they retire. But most people stay. And you know, the other part of that, to stem that brain drain, I think Wisconsin faces this. With the employee shortage that we're having and going to have, we do need to have more. Two things happen. One is we need to continue to draw students in from out of state and out of this country, but also we need to have better alignment. So we have, in southeastern Wisconsin alone, over 100,000 students in 23 academic institutions. Across the state, we've got almost 300,000 college students. So we should have plenty of supply. The question is, how well prepared are those students to stay for the occupational needs, to stay for what industry, healthcare, nonprofits, the arts, you know, what they need. So that's a big, big issue that we're working on through what we call the Higher Ed Regional Alliance.
Mm-hmm. And my guess is that's something that, I mean, students want you to pay attention to that too, because they want to make sure that they have the skill set that they need when they graduate, that they don't have to go elsewhere unless they really want to.
When I go into students' classrooms and I talk, well, faculty's classroom with students,
yeah,
I hear that over and over when I talk to them about what does success mean? What are you looking for? They're very much focused on that issue. And of course, when I talk to parents, they're very much focused on that issue. And we've both had kids in college and know just how valuable that is. And we want to provide a well-rounded education, but we also want things to track very well. So I think to your point, it's going to be very helpful if we in the education system have a better understanding of what the employer needs are, and we can communicate that to parents. We can communicate and we can say, here's the occupations, here's the majors that we have that line up with those. And when I was testifying in front of the Joint Finance Committee last year, I was showing how UWM graduates line up with the high needs, the occupational growth areas, and it's pretty impressive where a number of our students go, whether it's in the sciences, engineering, healthcare, business professions, just how lined up those are. Now, that's not to say that all our majors don't really have good prospects, and we're getting a lot better at that in terms of that alignment with internships, co-ops, and things, but that's how we keep improving.
So how do you counsel students? Let me give you an example. So there are some programs that are very much focused to, you know, what my job is going to be. When I got my undergraduate degree, I was able to just sample a lot of different things. I took a lot of political science, a lot of psychology, a lot of whatever. It wasn't as focused on the career that I was heading towards. And I remember even counseling my daughter when she was in college to say, use this time to learn a lot of different things, and then you'll figure it out. You know, how do you navigate from that kind of maybe the old-fashioned way of thinking that college is about exploration and learning a wide variety of things, the humanities, whatever, against that kind of career track mentality?
I think we have to be better at both. One is we need our advisors to be better understanding and better trained to continue to provide that sampling. Exactly as you described, you need to have, and at UWM we require our students through our GERs or general education requirements, humanities, social sciences, liberal arts, so you're going to get that well-rounded exposure. We want our students to be able to communicate. We want them to be able to write, think, ask tough questions, be exposed to both sides of political debate, be exposed to both sides of philosophical treaties, history, and understand where we are today and how we know knowledge. You know, that knowledge is a function of you know, how you ask questions and how your design of research works. So that's critical. But we also have to be better, and many of our professional schools and many of our non-professional schools have gotten quite a bit better. I think about in art history, for example, not something that you would typically think of as a professional area, but our art historians are getting internships today in museums that would just rival any of the best programs that you have in the country, and it's really neat to see that focus where you can take something and really turn that into something that keeps people here, that gives them occupational choices. And it's not that it's trained or tracking for a vocational sense as much as giving people alternatives mm-hmm. that they don't have to end up with, well, I got my degree and now what am I going to do?
Right.
And that's the cool thing about so many UWM students. Because of where we are, the experiential learning, the types of things that students can have, that living, learning, laboratory experience here in Milwaukee. And there's just no shortage of those partnerships. And that's, as a Carnegie engaged university in the community, we really do have that type of practice.
We could talk about that forever, but I want to also hit on some of the highlights of the past year that have happened at the university. When I look at the list that your staff put together, I mean, it is just really this all happened in 1 year. I mean, when we started the year, we were focused a lot on the budget, but a lot of other things happened that maybe we really didn't even talk about in the show. I mean, for example, the accreditation program that you had for Zilber and for others, that's huge.
And I don't take that for granted at all. It took a lot of work. That really goes back, it was a long time in the making for the Zilber School of Public Health to receive national accreditation. It's a game changer in many ways because prior to accreditation, you had a lot of faculty working through both the academic program development as well as the research side and to engage in the community. But now with that credentialing of accreditation, it just is the stamp that allows our graduates to go on to professional opportunities. Just what we were talking about earlier, it's the credential that you need to have an accredited school. So that's a big one, and it's kind of funny. that was this year. You know, that was this academic year that's just ending. It seems long, long ago. So that was kind of the beginning of the year, and you're right about the budget. Where we are today, having had the most favorable state budget in more than a decade, we're feeling much more comfortable relative to what it could have been and relative to the prior budgets. Now, that said, that's a low bar.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, but that's higher education in the country today. We are not, you know, if you look at the trend line, we are not going to get probably greater amounts of support going forward in a way of any significant magnitude. But what we can continue to hope for is the types of support that we received in the last budget. Let me give you some examples. For us to receive pay increases, that is huge. So we have 2% pay increase for 2 years of the biennial budget. That's in UWM and UW system. That's a big deal. Mm-hmm. So that's going to help when your faculty and staff salaries are behind. To the extent that we are, this helps, you know, stem that and turn that around a little bit. The fact that we had a solid operating budget, got some of the funding that we needed for some base increases, as well as the capital budget. Those are great areas. So we feel good about that.
Mm-hmm. You had some challenges this year. I know earlier in the year there were the discussion about DACA and some of the federal announcements affecting students certainly, you know, got a lot of people's attention because it was going to affect the quality of education that some students might be able to get.
And, you know, that continues. And there was also the context of that is there were a lot of national societal issues that were playing out on college campuses. And we had seen that during the debates. We had seen that with some previous speakers in previous years. So we instituted this last year a free speech series, and we had speakers that came in and talked about, you know, how do you have discourse? How do you have civil arguments? How do you keep the peace, so to speak? And I thought it was really important, and we need to continue that because there are extreme views, and college campuses is where those views ought to be able to play out in a healthy discourse. So we've made great progress, and I want to see that continue, that freedom of speech series. So to have different nationally prominent individuals come in representing very diverse views on that issue. So that's one of the important accomplishments of the year.
There was some concern voiced by a few legislators that campuses talk free speech when it involves liberal and progressive ideas, but not so much conservative ideas. Is there any concerted effort to make sure that conservative ideas are equally as represented as more progressive ideas might be?
Well, you know, we have individuals that come on campus from both sides, and we have faculty and staff from both sides. I think, you know, I had an interesting discussion over the weekend, had a couple different social events, and at one of them somebody argued that same thing and said, just in general, you know, college campuses tend to be more liberal, more progressive, and so it does suppress the conservative voice, right? And I said, well, I said, you know, we are trying to make sure that at UWM, both sides are able to feel comfortable, feel free, and come in and share their views. And I think that you saw that in the Freedom of Expression series. I think you see that in terms of courses, whether they're in political science or history or business, where different guest speakers come in. And we do an awful lot of things, a lot of programs both on campus and in the community, where we have both sides fairly well represented.
Mm-hmm. Mark Mone, Chancellor of UWM, is our guest in conversation today. Also last fall, word came out that the system president and the regents were looking at an effort to consolidate and move some of the two-year campuses under the auspices of the four-year schools like UWM. I know the planning for that is still underway, and now I believe the original thought was this was all going to be done by July 1, and most everyone knew that was pretty impossible to happen. But what's the status of that?
The status is, you're absolutely right. There's been 160 people at UWM and our two colleges, both UW-Waukesha and UW-Washington County, that are being merged or joined with UWM. Those folks have been working around the clock and just incredibly vigorously to put together their work through seven functional teams, a central restructuring team, working with their counterparts at system. So that's all phase one. And how I would say the best way to summarize the status is that phase one is where we get half the keys on July 1st. You know, when you're buying a car, buying a house, you don't get all the keys. In this case, we get half the keys.
You got your learner's permit? Is this the equivalent?
We don't get the trunk. We don't get the doors, but maybe we get the ignition key or something. You know, but essentially, phase one is let's figure out how do we get student information systems talking to each other? How do we make sure that faculty are on the payroll? How do we make sure that students you know, get the right advisors, that courses are offered at the right time? All of that stuff that I consider to be transactional. We have to get that foundational stuff in place. Then phase two, which we're thinking about, but we're so busy with the HLC Higher Learning Commission accreditation, with all these issues, because if we don't get those, then the game's over. Mm-hmm. For example, if we don't get accreditation, students are not eligible for federal financial aid. Game over. I mean, it's right. Just that's a really big portion. So all these things are absolute necessities. But the big potential for the synergy or the positive, the way we can optimize and gain a lot, is what I call in phase two, where we start talking about what are the programs, academic programs, that we can put in place. How do we get four-year programs and graduate programs and certificate programs in those locations that serve the needs of the population that's there? So we want to continue with the access mission. We want to continue with that lower price point you have with a two-year degree, provide greater access for students to come to preferably UWM, but other four-year campuses. And then long-term, how do we really have a bigger footprint so that we provide for Southeastern Wisconsin more educational opportunities? How do we meet the needs, back to our earlier conversation, how do we meet the needs of the growing healthcare? You just see where, you know, Aurora is opening this, or Poe Healthcare is opening that, or Ascension. You know, how do we continue to provide the talent? How do we continue to grow with those other areas by having programs that are on-site in those areas? Because not everybody wants to come to Milwaukee. Not everybody is able in terms of cost of transportation and living. So it's just much more easy and convenient. So that, to me, is the long-run big win potential in this. But we got to get through phase one first.
In March, you did the Microsoft visit, and that was a good opportunity to really kind of continue the dialogue about research and the connections that we've been talking about with other major industries. But I got the sense, because you and I talked about this on the program, that link to Microsoft really energized you, mm-hmm. I think, and its meaning. Talk a bit about that.
You cannot spend time with Satya Nadella and not be energized. He is one of today's, in my opinion, prominent thinkers. He's reflective. He's humanitarian in so many ways, and he thinks about people and a business. And if you read his book, Hit Refresh, I think you'd find it refreshing. I think it grounds you in a sense of here's what it means to be somebody who really has worked hard on changing the culture of a large company, who really wants them to make a difference in the world in a profound way. So he's brilliant and is fascinating. Now, specifically, you know, we were with Blake Moret, who's our area. He's the CEO and president of Rockwell Automation here in Milwaukee, and Pat Borger, our vice chancellor for development, and she's been working on a lot of what we call our big projects, the partnerships that we have. And we were talking specifically with Satya Nadella about some of the things that Microsoft is supporting with Rockwell and many other area firms around our Connected Systems Institute. So that's what a lot of this was. And it's the third time I've been to Microsoft, the second time I visited with Satya. And it's always refreshing and energizing. I have roots in the Northwest. That helps too. But
and you mentioned Pat Borger, the head of development for UWM. This was also a pretty significant year in terms of the fundraising efforts and the campaign for funding.
Absolutely thrilled. Dave, the support from this community, from our friends, is what makes UWM so special. People get it, whether you're an alum or not. People know the difference that this university has had. It's what it's made in terms of just so many contributions for the talent base, for enriching the arts, for making a difference in film and the scientific discoveries, how the research matters, those types of partnerships that give us the quality of life. When you can take Bradford Beach and you can say, Bradford Beach today is thriving. Well, our research scientists help figure out what the cause of a lot of the pollution was and take care of that.
Horrible smells.
Yeah, and clean a lot of that up. So there's example after example of where I think it's that research university with a talent pipeline and at a magnitude. So the capital campaign, our Made in Milwaukee Shaping the World, I can tell you later this month, I should say later next month, we'll be announcing a gift that will take us to the goal, which is our new raise goal, and of $200 million. And it's just we're going to finish strong. We officially will end in early 19. So we want to see how far beyond we can go. But this helps with student scholarships. This helps with research partnerships, and it helps us engage more. So that's what the capital campaign is all about. And Pat Borger, her team, excellent job.
Yeah. Wanted to kind of finish our review of the past year with a rising from the ashes, if you will. You mentioned the arts program, but a year ago, the campus was devastated by a fire that impacted the School of Fine Arts, and now the theater is open.
And it's the Phoenix. You're absolutely right. It's reborn. Beautiful new theater, and we're so fortunate to have so many who've come together, both in the short run, how many people gave us for the production that we had at the time for us to be able to pull that all together, but then for us to rebuild that. In fact, we're going to profile that next week at the Board of Regents meeting. We're going to actually show, we're going to have some events in the theater itself to show we're back. So that's neat, and that's just another set of activities that was going on to get everything lined up to get that theater open as quickly as we did.
Mm-hmm. You've been spending some time. We talked about the consolidation and the mergers of the two-year and four-year schools, and you've actually been spending some time at your new schools, getting to know them and having them getting to know you. And I know when you were at the UW Washington campus, you handed out Moni Roni. What is it? Is this another little cooking adventure?
So our student association, some years back, they put together, they bought, I don't know how many thousand packages. You know, there's the little instant macaroni.
Right.
So we rebranded it with permission. You can custom order this stuff from Kraft and put my picture on it. We call it Moni Roni. And it helps, I guess some people can't quite figure my name out so easily. So it breaks that barrier. But I have a lot of fun with it. And whether it's faculty, students, staff, as they're going by, I'm grabbing them and giving them some of this great macaroni and having some fun. You know, it's a nice way to engage. And I've done that on our campus as well and do these tours. And we have carts of this Moni Roni that we give out. And we will go, you know, sometimes the Student Association leadership, we just go in an army through the Student Union building. But in Washington County, I think it was a good introduction. And we do have a lot of people that are spending a lot of time on these campuses. And I try to get out there. It's something that I need to do more of. We just can't do enough of it.
Right, right. I mean, do you see yourself ultimately, how is this going to work? I mean, are you going to spend, once the consolidation is complete, I mean, you will have obligations at these other campuses too.
Well, I'll give you an example. This summer alone, we have, it's not just on the campuses. The big part, just like here, you know, I'll spend, if it's a good week, Dave, half of my time is in the community.
Sure.
That's a good week. So now we've got to do the same. It's just hard because I can't be half my time on campus
right.
here, half my time in the community, and then there. And realistically, you know, those are 45 minutes to an hour each way. And so I try to consolidate. I'll try to have a campus visit, and then I'm either in the community. And so I've been doing things with whether it's the Rotary or the county boards or other businesses that are there in those regions. And so it's a lot of work. And I do think that historically what they've had with their dean and who has been largely internal, and then they've had some other representation that's been regional that's been in the community. We have to up that game. Mm-hmm. We have to continue to have that presence internal, but one of the expectations for leadership there today is to have that community involvement and engagement. One of the things that they lost when they regionalized was no longer do you have West Bend feeling like this is our campus,
right.
or Washington, Waukesha saying this is our campus, because now it's more of a joint ownership. So we want to bring that back and have that something where we have that type of identity within the community. That's vitally important for the success of that region. My role in that is going to be point for some of those things. Tom Lujak, our Vice Chancellor for Communications, he's involved with this, but also our new dean, our new interim dean, is going to have that expectation as well.
Mm-hmm. Got any big plans for the summer? I mean, other than your calendar, which is calling you?
You know, other campuses, things quiet down
yeah.
After graduation. For us, it's the real run-up for the Board of Regents meeting, so we've been really pursuing that. We've got some major new partnership work underway. You know, I've talked before on the show about the Connected Systems Institute. I'm just going to drop a little bit of a teaser because I really can't announce it quite yet, but there's you know, large new partnership in the offing that we'll be able to talk about in our next show. That's taking a lot of time. I do have some time carved out for vacation in August. I'm not sure what we're going to do yet. But
at least it's on the calendar. That's 90% of it.
One of the jokes that I have, somebody asked last night, their eyebrows were knitted, and they said, so graduation occurred. What, you know, will you be working this summer? I mean, it's like, you know, so how much time do you have to actually work? And I said, well, you know, things don't really change a lot at administration. There's just more time between crises in the summer. Yeah. That's how I joke about it.
Well, we are out of time, and I hope you do get a chance to get away and enjoy your summer. And we always enjoy having you in the studio once a month to talk about UWM and its role in the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. And I hope you get a chance to enjoy the summer and get some good time out as well.
Indeed. Mark Moni, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, has been our guest in conversation. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report featuring Mark Moni, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.